welcome to this week's edition of This Week in YouTube History. I'm your host, Eric Shivers. On this week's show, I will discuss Jamie Fallas and Dana Sherrick's documentary about standing in the General Mission line. The movie is called General Mission, Landing on the Line for U2. And I'll give reflection on what Bono's been up to. He's been traveling across Africa in the early part of 2012. Plus, we'll visit Gig of the Week. So sit back and enjoy the show. What happens when two U2 fans grab cameras and document the General Mission line outside a U2 360 tour stop? Just ask first-time documentarians Tammy Fallas and Dana Sherrick. These two longtime fans of this Irish band got the idea in the fall of 2009 when U2 stopped in their hometown of Toronto for a concert. 2 years later, upon the band's return to Toronto, they shot their film, General Mission, Laying on the Line for U2. What Tammy and Dana captured that day, watching the General Mission line, is a self-regulating democracy of U2 fans who wait up to 50 hours for a coveted spot in the inner sanctum of U2 stage. In 2001, U2 changed the whole game plan when it came to concerts. They took out the seats on the venue floor and created a standing room only event. I was skeptical. I grew up in the 70s and remember the catastrophe involving the band The Who in Cincinnati, where concertgoers were crushed to death due to a similar concept. My misgivings about the idea were put on hold when U2's Elevation Tour came to town and I got tickets. I've been an ardent supporter of the GA line and its community ever since. And that's why I like the concept of the film. It gives us the insight to those ardent fans who give up vacation days from work or time with loved ones to be with their community of fellow U2 fans. Above and beyond the fanaticism is the socioeconomic makeup of a U2 fan. Tammy and Dana's website for the movie, generalmissionthemovie.com, has radio interviews of the two documentarians divulging university research on really what makes up a U2 fan, which I think makes this film a little more deeper than just following fans entering a concert venue. The reason I champion this project is for the fact that U2 fans are now creating documentation for future fans about U2. Take, for instance, Kathleen McCarran's book, U2 and Me, my memoir, I'm a Fan, and now this documentary adds a living and breathing passion to the band as they continue to tour. My hope is that Tammy and Dana have included some road movies of such fans as Mark Baker or Dina Dietrich, both of whom stopped their lives and careers last summer to follow the band. In Dana's case, she shared the road with her two dogs as she hit every U.S. tour stop on the 360 tour. I hope my listeners have time to visit generaladmissionthemovie.com and take in this great project. I hope to see it on screen, no matter the size, sometime soon. Welcome back to the show. This is a special episode of This Week in U2 History because today is the observed day of the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. here in the United States. Dr. King was a gentle giant amongst men, as he was one who spoke of civil rights. Some people would say that was just for the African-American community, but I'm a firm believer that it was civil rights across the board for every American. Unfortunately, as we all know, his life was cut a little bit short. But it took a band such as U2 to sing his praise back to us in the song Pride in the Name of Love. And what a wonderful tune it is. Bono is one of those who's taken up Dr. King's beliefs and teachings, not just for civil rights, but for those who are of the impoverished, and specifically those with AIDS in Africa. This week, he has taken time off from the band and has taken a delegation to Africa, a congressional delegation from America, showing them the great strides in which the One campaign has tried to curb the growth and the spread of this disease. He met with the likes of Jeffrey Sachs and others to show hospitals and clinics in Africa and all the great deeds. Bono and his wife, Allie, along with Reznor Rosso, who is the founder of the fashion brand Diesel, We're in Uganda visiting the offices of Mend, and Mend creates these wonderful bags. Actually, the seamstresses are in Uganda, and they're great products, and I'm hopefully that we can find them in America. But you know, it was sort of interesting that one of the seamstresses' names was Grace, and Bono sung the song Amazing Grace to her. So I think it's great and a great day to celebrate not only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but it's also nice to see that people such as Bono, and as well as others, have taken up the gauntlet of Dr. King's teachings and is spreading his words some 30-plus years later, actually 40-plus years later, since his untimely death. If it's the third segment of the show, you know what time it is. It's time for Gig of the Week. And this week, we're celebrating the song Pride in the Name of Love, sung live. Since we're sort of celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. here at This Week in U2 History, I thought it would be kind of sentimental to sort of talk about this great song as it's played live. As I said last week, January is sort of hit or miss when it comes to gigs, and I thought, well, maybe since we're celebrating a birthday, we might as well celebrate the song that goes along with it. I remember seeing Pride in the Name of Love performed for the first time on October 20th, 1987 at Iowa City's Carver Hawkeye Arena. U2 had just happened to make a stop on the Joshua Tree tour, and I was so giddy with excitement, I probably forgot that they performed the song. However, I think they captured it great in Rattle and Hum as Bono sort of collapses on the stage at the end of the song, sort of exasperated. We all remember our first U2 show, and since the Unforgettable Fire tour, Pride has been a staple in that set list. It brings the community of U2 fans together when the song is performed live. And we've, you know, seen as fans over the years through numerous DVDs and live concert performances that they perform Pride pretty much in step. And I think it's one of those songs that reminds us not just about Dr. King, but it also reminds us about being humanitarians and making a change. Whether we donate old clothes that we don't wear anymore to the Salvation Army, or we work in a kitchen serving food to the homeless, or we try to make change working for organizations such as the One Campaign. Pride in the Name of Love is one of those great songs that brings us together as a community. I sort of find it ironic that it takes an Irish band to sing us back the song, as I said in the last segment, but you know what? They have done great justice by telling us a wonderful story about Dr. King, and I'm glad that we have a little bit of pride sitting around here at This Week in U2 History. Thanks very much. It's great to have you along for the show. As I always say, keep the needle in the vinyl grooves, and we'll keep on rocking until next week. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
This Week in U2 History, brought to you by 822design.com, a different kind of design firm. Eric Shivers is the author of I'm a Fan, How I Married U2 Into My Life Without Going to the Altar, available at amazon.com. Read more about Eric's memoir at imau2fan.com and join the conversation. Tune in next week for more U2 History.